This is the Airplane Geeks Podcast. Our aim is to educate and inform you, explore and expand your passion for aviation, and entertain you a little along the way. This episode, the EAA plans Spirit of Aviation Week, a big virtual aviation event. Also, Boeing struggles with the 737 MAX as customers defer orders. WOW Air returns as a cargo airline. And commercial pilots might seek refuge with the U.S. Air Force. Plus, we have a new Oz desk from the boys down under. It's all coming up right now. Welcome to the Airplane Geeks Podcast. This is episode 607 of the show where we talk aviation. I'm Max Flight, and with me is David Vanderhoof, our aviation historian.
Hello, everyone. Greetings from Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. Looking forward to quite a rapid show to honor our host who's out coasting around in his camper. But looking forward to it, and a lot of good news.
That's right. We're going to attempt what they call in the business a one-take wonder, which means record it. Minimal of any editing and publish it because of the time constraints that I'm under.
But and that's the reminder again for Max Trescott and I.
Speaking of which, yes, Max Trescott is also with us. He's host of Aviation News Talk podcast. He is a CFI of the year, and of course, he is an expert on the Cirrus aircraft, whether that be learning to fly or purchasing one.
Oh, hi, Max. Do you mind if we start over, by the way?
Smartness.
Yes, indeed. Welcome. Nice to talk to you again.
All right. Good to talk to you. And yes, it is going to be a short show. We just got a few news stories. We have an Oz desk that we'll introduce coming up. But first, we've got some of the aviation news from the past week. Is everyone ready?
Ready from the West.
Ready.
All right, this is from Investors Business Daily. Boeing preserves 737 MAX orders after cancellations surge and hedge fund buys debt. So, Max T, boy, you know, another week, another interesting story on the 737 MAX.
Well, so this is good news. There hasn't been a whole lot of that lately. So that's why I found this story and said, oh, this is great. We got to talk about this. Good news for Boeing. And of course, this comes on the heels of what had been bad news for Boeing, which is that they had cancellations of a total of 150 Boeing 737 MAXs in March and 108 in April. Those are huge, huge numbers. I can imagine that's many months worth of production combined, if not a year or more of production there that they have lost because of cancel orders. But they got good news that some people are leaving their orders in place. So we've got to SMBC Capital, which is a Japanese aircraft leasing company. They're going to defer delivery of 68 of the jets that they have on order. They're pushing them out a few years, but at least they're keeping them on the books. And likewise, AerCap, which is also a lessor, is deferring delivery on 37 aircraft out to 2023 because they're looking to conserve cash, but they're leaving the orders in place. So it's kind of nice. Also, we're starting to see a little bit of rebounding of airline travel. So as the country starts to reopen, there are some positive signs that, you know, things will someday get back to the way they were. Though I think in some respects, they probably will never be quite the way back the way they were. You know, I'm looking here in Silicon Valley and reading about all kinds of what may possibly be permanent work at home kinds of things for employees. So some of them may never go back to the office. So I think things will be different in some ways.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And yeah, we are seeing signs that things are improving, although they're still obviously at really, really low levels. But yeah, some flights have been added. Yields are up slightly. But again, still down significantly from what they were, but at least they're moving in the right direction. Stock prices are moving as well. I didn't check Boeing's stock price today, Monday, as we record this, but last Friday, in one day, Boeing's stock price went up just under 11.5%. That's in, you know, in one day. It was up to $205, which at its low point was $89. So it has come up somewhat. Although a year ago, in March 2019, Boeing's stock was $440 a share. So we're less than half of that that high. But again, things are moving in the right direction. The question being, how steep is this slope? You know, is this a gradual 5-year or 10-year kind of recovery slope, or something that's shorter than that? And you know, if you knew that, you could place some good bets. So, David, what did Boeing do today? $230.50. So
up 12%.
Wow,
12.2%.
That's two massive days of improvement. That's very very interesting. Of course, we're not giving stock advice. We wouldn't try to do that. But for those of you who are some years away from retirement, I would just remind you that where you make the big money is in recessions and depressions. If you're in one of those, that's where you make your money. Instead of selling, now it's time to buy, I think. But again, that's not advice for anybody. All right. Our favorite airline, WOW. This is from One Mile at a Time. WOW Air becomes a global cargo airline based in West Virginia. Of course, we recall that WOW Air liquidated in 2019, but the name was purchased. And now it's servicing in Martinsburg, West Virginia, as a cargo airline. Max, really interesting. This is the airline that just, or the name anyway, that won't go away.
It's an airline with nine lives, and this has got to be at least the third one that I can think of. The article says that it's being run by West Virginia businesswoman Michelle Ballarin, and my recollection is that she was involved in the latest iteration, which probably was, I don't know, 5-6 months ago. And apparently they've decided, well, let's not relaunch it in Iceland. Let's pivot a little bit here and launch it as a cargo airlines, which makes a whole lot of sense to me. Certainly tourism is way, way, way down in Iceland at the moment. And I think we've just talked in general how airline travel is way, way, way down. So it's a tough time to consider putting an airline back into to business again. On the other hand, as we've talked about on the show, cargo is up. And part of the reason cargo is up because there are so many passenger planes, which carry some cargo along with passengers, are grounded. And so there is an opportunity right now for cargo. So this kind of makes sense. It does seem kind of odd to be in Martinsburg, West Virginia, certainly not the aviation, you know, capital of the country. And I suspect that's probably just more based on where either, you know, Michelle Ballarin lives or has some other operations that this is associated with. And so, you know, if you think about it, WOW being based in Iceland always seemed a little odd because it's such a small country, but it was strategically placed midway between Europe and the U.S., so that worked out pretty well for them. So anyway, I've always thought that it's a scrappy, spunky little airline. It's kind of fun to see what they did the last time around. So I wish them great success, and I hope this isn't the last we've heard of WOW.
Yes. Martinsburg's big. It used to have at least one squadron of C-5s.
Oh, really?
So it was, you know, as a military, as a former military base, it's got cargo facilities.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I was wondering about that.
So I think that's one of the reasons why they chose it. So I mean, Martinsburg did have C-5s for a long time. I think now it's a 130 squadron, but I'm sure that there's a serious cargo infrastructure in that area, which would be a good place to base it. You know, and you're in, like they say in the press announcement, you're in centralized on the East Coast. I mean, you're halfway north and halfway south pretty much. And a hop, skip, and a jump from Chicago and some of the other. So I think it's not a bad place. You know, you're not dealing with a lot of traffic, you know, like if you were flying into a major metropolis. So as a hub, you know, you can do cargo. I mean, there's a reason why FedEx and UPS are where they are. You know, they don't want traffic at, you know, so they can do their exchanges and such. So good luck to WOW and cargo, you know, WOW cargo, you know, it was sort of, you know, this sounds a bit like escargo, but it works.
Yeah. The way they announced this was on Facebook. And right, it's WOW, which of course is all uppercase. And then cargo, the car, the C-A-R is lowercase and the go is uppercase. But they said on Facebook, WOW Cargo is proud to announce the commencement of worldwide cargo operations from its U.S. base in the capital region on the East Coast at Martinsburg. And then they say the facility is 100,000 square feet of hangar and warehouse, with 25,000 square feet of administrative offices for global dispatch operations. So don't know if they've got customers lined up or what their strategy is to provide these cargo services, but look forward to it. And their Facebook page, by the way, if you're looking for it, it's WOW Iceland, W-O-W Iceland. I guess that's a holdover, Max, from earlier times.
Well, and I would have thought that, as David said, since it formerly housed C-5s, that they would have a lot of older military buildings that could be repurposed. When I look at this photo, which I hadn't seen because it's all the way at the bottom of the article, these look like relatively new buildings. So sounds like they've got lots of space and relatively new facilities. Now, they don't look big enough to put 737s inside, or I forget what. Actually, I think they're flying Airbuses at WOW. But they've got lots of office space, lots of distribution space. Looks like the planes themselves will be sitting outside most of the time.
I love the purple livery of WOW. It's one of my favorite. I mean, it's a pretty plain livery. It's not festooned with lots of design and all, but I don't know.
It's a plain livery, huh?
It's a plain livery.
I was surprised that it was not festooned. I mean,
it really stands out though when you see one of those planes.
No, it's so funny. When was the last time I heard the word festoon? It's been a few years.
I referred to something the other day. I was talking to, it was a Zoom call with a couple of family members. And I used the phrase half past, you know, something's going to happen at half past. And my daughter was like, half past? She goes, Dad, no one says half past anymore. I think, really? I don't know. It just seemed kind of natural. Festooned came from, but probably the same place as half past.
And quarter of and quarter after.
Yeah, really. All right. Warbirdnews.com. EAA Spirit of Aviation Week coming July 21st through 25th. So the Experimental Aircraft Association, the EAA, is celebrating the aviation community virtually this July. This seems kind of interesting.
Well, it makes a whole lot of sense. You've got so much preparation that goes into Air Venture, and I'm sure they were just kind of looking at what can we do to fill that time and to, you know, make use of some of the plans that we have already put in place. You know, so for example, they've got presentations and forums and so on that are scheduled, and I'm sure those were all lined up back in the early part of the year when they thought Air Venture was going to be held. So why not go ahead and use some of those things that they've organized to move forward and do it online? So yeah, it makes total sense to me.
And go ahead, David.
No, I was just saying, you know, and you can. We've already had. I think Airshow News had the virtual Airshow Week where they were having the teams, you know, using video and stuff. there's got to be enough video out from AirVenture from people that they could do. They could do an edited air show every day of the week and not repeat themselves, you know. And yeah, okay, it's not going to be being there in person, but you know, you could get your fix of at least the Warbirds and the classics and such. And EAA puts out a video every year, so I mean, they've got enough footage to use. So and maybe all of us can open up a beer that week, you know, and commiserate where we should be, you know?
Yeah, have a liney with a... Yeah, and so it's going to include both streamed content and on-demand content. And they say this will all have a focus on education, information, and entertainment. And they've already got some items planned for Spirit of Aviation Week, but includes things like presentations and forums and discussions. To David's point, historical and archival content that highlights aviation legends. But they're also going to have workshops, home building workshops and discussions, pilot proficiency content, a virtual exhibit space, including show specials and videos and services from the exhibitors.
Yeah, you forget about that whole aspect of it. You know, the income that these companies are, and the face to face time that these companies are going to lose out on. So I mean, getting them a public face in a public forum is a good thing.
So I don't know. Did they use that that term, that phrase, Spirit of Aviation Week in the past, or is that something new? Because I noticed on their website. They've got it marked with a TM, a trademark.
Well, Spirit of Aviation it's always been EAA, the Spirit of Aviation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think it shows up on that large entry gate that they have that's often photographed. That's my recollection. You know, it's funny, as you were talking about this, my mouth started watering because it's like, I think of Oshkosh and I think, oh, you know, you go out and you get some great food. And you mentioned the beer. I think anybody who's watching this online ought to have, you know, either a food truck drive up to their house so they can get some bratwurst while they're watching this, or, you know, maybe EAA will look at getting into the delivery business and, you know, shipping out some classic Wisconsin food ahead of time so that people can sit there and,
cheese curds and Leinenkugels.
Yes. Yeah, I'm just thinking you got to make this complete, and that just seems like the one missing element here.
So anybody thinking about having a Zoom that week, let's, you know, we always have a lot of things where we have meet and greets, you know. Well, maybe we need to have a Zoom that week on one night, you know, and just all of us get some beers and pretend there was a night show and have a good time.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Now, there's a website, a dedicated event website for this, which is eaatogether.org. And they say that the actual schedule should be available soon. And they're also encouraging a hashtag for this, which is eaatogether. So do your part and, you know, please help promote this for the EAA, for all of us. And again, it's going to be July 21st through 25th, 2020. And I think probably the place to, again, to watch for the schedule and, you know, learn about the specific events in this that you'd want to participate in or attend or watch. Do all that at the website, eaatogether.org. And a military item. This comes from, appropriately enough, military.com. Air Force preparing for furloughed commercial pilots to request return to duty. So this is something that, when you consider it, makes a lot of sense. One aspect of this is that pilots in the Air Force currently are, many of them, are asking to stay past their original retirement or separation dates. They want to stay in the Air Force. Why? Well, because probably, David, is this a valid assumption that otherwise they might, upon leaving the Air Force, go look to a commercial aviation job, but time's not very good for that right now.
Yes, and maybe they've reached their 20 years and they were going to marshal out and go into the airlines, because the airlines up until last couple of months had a infamous pilot shortage we've talked about so much, and in a way it benefits the Air Force because the Air Force was looking towards a severe pilot shortage as the number of squadrons, et cetera, are growing. So I'm sure the Air Force is happy that they are able to keep these people in to keep current until maybe we get more staff in, more training in, or the economy gets better and they can get out. But if you're gonna lose your income, you might as well stay in.
Sure, that's what I would want to do, but that's only kind of half of this. Half of this issue here. The other part of this is that the CARES Act, the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, expires at the end of September. And of course, under that act, companies, they're prohibited from cutting their workforces until that date in order to receive some federal benefits. And people have been talking about what happens come October 1st. Are we going to see a lot of furloughs and layoffs and all of that? So the other half of this, as far as the Air Force is concerned, is that there may be a huge surge of commercial pilots who are going to come asking for a return to active duty so they can get back into the Air Force and flying should they get laid off or furloughed or terminated or whatever from their commercial airline. So if things don't pick up significantly between now and then, gosh, I don't know, maybe Dave, maybe the Air Force pilot shortage is going to evaporate pretty quickly.
Well, this is economics. So I guess we'll see, but also with economics comes cost cutting in the Pentagon. So, down the road, you might not need as many as those pilots, because of economics and change of administrations, et cetera, like that. So it's a tight line, and I'm sure the Navy's in the same boat, that I'm sure there are Navy people who are going to want to come back in.
The Navy's in the same boat. Is that what you said?
That's what I said.
Oh, too much, too much.
Quality puns here, folks.
Yeah. All right, the pun meister, David. All right, so that's it for the news. In terms of what's up with the geeks, just quickly, June 10th is our airplane geeks anniversary. So June 10th is our 12th anniversary, believe it or not. Now, I'll be honest with you. I really can't remember if June 10th was when we recorded the first episode or when we published the first episode. But doesn't matter. June 10th is the anniversary. 2008, June 10th is when this little show got started. So,
wow. And so I've been here officially for half of them because I started 6 years ago.
Time flies.
Yeah, hard to believe. The new guy, huh?
Yeah.
You're the rookie. How's that sound?
I'm still learning.
Yeah. Max, anything going on with you aviation-wise these days? Still?
Well, I did get out of the house and went and taught my first simulator lesson last week. I've got another one scheduled this week. So I'm gradually working my way back into aviation-related things. It's a lot easier to stay 6 feet apart when you're in the simulator than it is when you are shoulder-to-shoulder teaching in an airplane. And let's see what else.
The simulator, where do you go? Where do you teach the simulator? What's the simulator that you teach on?
Sure. At the West Valley Flying Club at the Palo Alto Airport, they have a couple of different simulators from PFC, Precision. Oops, I'm going to forget the
flight. The F's got to be flight, right?
That's it. Precision Flight Controls. They're out of the Sacramento area, and they make what I think are the G1000 simulators with the best fidelity, because almost never am I having to say, but in the real airplane, it will be different. And that's always been a problem with simulators, is often there are discrepancies between what happens in the simulator and what happens in the real airplane. So I've really, really enjoyed working with these simulators. And traditionally, we've got two different chairs, and they are a little less than 6 feet apart. But I actually chose to stand out by the door, so I was probably 7+ feet behind the pilot, who was, you know, facing away from me. And occasionally, I'd have to say, "And what's on the screen now?" Because I couldn't quite make out, you know, everything. But I could, you know, spend most of my time, you know, actively teaching and doing a good job. But occasionally, I'd have to ask for him to give me a little.
What were
a little
you simulating? An SR-22.
So this particular simulator has only Cessnas on it. So we picked the fastest Cessna, which was a Turbo 206H, because that was going to be a little bit closer to the Cirrus airspeeds. And the avionics, especially from an instrument standpoint, are close enough to the Cirrus. They're pretty darn close. So it's a reasonable representation. And this gentleman was looking at a check ride within, a month or so of when we stopped flying almost 90 days ago. So he's chomping at the bit to get back into it. But I want to mention, I saw a story here just a day or so ago, and I'm sure you UAV Digest guys saw this as well. Did you see the helicopter on drone action that occurred with our neighbors to the north up in Canada?
No,
I don't think I saw that.
It was police on police crime. Can you believe that? A police helicopter and a police drone, which were operating on the same mission, had a midair collision. I don't know what the results were, but I just thought, wow, if that doesn't beat all, obviously there needs to be a little bit better coordination. You know, we talk about the challenges of coordinating random drone flights from random helicopter flights. Yet think, when you're operating on the same mission, working for the same entity, that you could keep your vehicles apart. But holy cow, I mean, that's had to be, hopefully it was only just embarrassing and that there wasn't.
Yeah, we'll have to look for that,
damage.
David.
Yeah, no, definitely. That'll definitely be your grounded files.
That's right.
You know, and speaking of helicopters and your grounded, I mean, we had the whole incident in D.C. where the Lakota, the UH-72 of the D.C. Air National Guard, dusted off a bunch of protesters and was flying only about 200 feet off of the road. To break up a protest, you know, and that's now under investigation, under whose orders were they given, et cetera. So evidently there's some really ugly things going on in the helicopter world these days.
And I had read they were just 100 feet up in the air and that the two pilots have been grounded pending the investigation. The other thing that was odd about it was that the helicopters had medical markings, red crosses on the side. Now, maybe that was just the only helicopters that happened to be, you know, ready and available at the time. But, yeah, the whole thing does seem a little unusual.
The UH-72, which is the Lakota, which is based on a Eurocopter, is primarily a medevac helicopter. The mission the DC Air National Guard, DC National Guard uses with their Lakotas is medical evacuation. So they have, the whole squadron has red crosses on the side of it because that's their primary mission. The Lakota is an off-the-shelf air ambulance for all intents and purposes that the Army purchased, started purchasing about 10 years ago. It was a very off-the-shelf kind of to replace Hueys primarily, and the UH-1V, which is was the UH-1 that was equipped with a hoist and medical evacuation. So the Lakota is literally, so these guys were flying their normal helicopter missions and were authorized in case of an emergency to be able to land in the area for a medical evacuation should something have happened. The where the dust off comes in, that's where the investigation starts. So it's like, who authorized it, you know? And it was kind of scary watching it sit there between a building and a bunch of trees,
yeah,
just hovering. I mean, it was a really scary sight. So
yeah, don't like to see that. All right. Well, David, the American Helicopter Museum, any projections on reopening or anything like that?
The last we heard was July 10th, we'll start moving back in. You know, I'm not expecting, you know, I'm sort of expecting August to be when we officially really open up. It's going to be a big change. So it's... We're taking one day at a time. You know, unfortunately here in Pennsylvania, we just got the yellow. We have to be the green in our area around Philadelphia. So it's going to be interesting, you know. So I'm being patient, you know. July is only 4 weeks away, 6 weeks away. So, you know, but I'm definitely chafing at the bit to go back. You know, I kind of liked being at an airport, kind of like Trescott. You know, I could walk outside and see airplanes, you know, and helicopters, you know. So not just the museum ones, but all of the aircraft that come in and out of Brandywine. So, sigh, a couple more weeks.
All right. Okay, we have an Australia news desk. Now, for you newer folks, years ago, Steve Fisher and Grant McCarran in Australia produced a segment each week for this podcast, and we called that the Oz Desk. And you know, I think Grant got a new microphone and they wanted to test it out or something, and one thing led to another, and the next thing they knew, they had an Oz Desk for us. So they sent that along, and let's hear what these guys are up to.
Broadside calling Danny Boy. Broadside calling Danny Boy. Come in, Danny Boy.
Broadside, this is Danny Boy. Steve, we've made contact. Yes, we have connected our virtual studios via the power of the internet.
Is this on?
It's not only on, mate. That just sounds wonderful. Is that a new microphone?
Oh, I may have a new microphone, mixer, you know, studio arm for holding the microphone. I think we should give this a test.
Yeah. Any suggestions? I know. I've got an idea. Let's try this. Well, g'day, folks, and welcome to the Australia Desk for episode 607.
What? Over 600 episodes? Wow, that's a long time in podcasting, Steve.
It sure is, Grant. You know, if there's new listeners to the show, we've been doing this a long time, actually, since 2009. And, you know, Grant, that's back when our kids were kids. And, well, our kids aren't kids. In fact, you just emceed my daughter's wedding.
Yeah, that's right. I was emceeing your daughter's wedding to what's-his-name, as you call him, and my son has moved out with his girlfriend into their own apartment. I even helped them. We're now officially empty nesters.
Exactly. Have you still got your notes? I may need them. What's his name again?
Hayden.
Bob. Call him Bob.
Jared? Oh, Bob. Okay.
Oh, my daughter will kill me. Anyway, let's talk aviation. You know, there's been so little aviation, anything happening in this part of the world since the coronavirus hit.
Oh, come on, man. Wait. I just got Qatar Platinum. That's the equivalent of one World Emerald, and I haven't been on an aircraft since the 10th of March. Woohoo!
You know the only Qatar Airways flights coming in here to Melbourne are cargo flights. Perhaps you got Platinum Crate.
Oh, damn it. I'll read the fine print, but you may be right. Hey, but still, Qatar Platinum, it's got to be good, even if it's in a crate.
Yeah, well, it'll be good at some point. You know, my son flew Qatar Airlines once, and he was very, very impressed with it. In fact, I was just a little jealous.
Oh, mate, I organized to go over for a user forum in Rome, and I wound up flying Emirates. The CEO of the squadron I'm part of, he went over on my dime, I might point out, via Qatar, and he got upgraded to first. I was like, how is business in Qatar? He says, I don't know. I went with first.
You know, the last airline I flew was... Anyway, let's not talk about that.
Could be worse, could be Tiger.
Let's not talk about them. Anyway, let's talk about Qantas and Virgin Australia. Now, the only flights that they've really been doing of an international nature lately have been repatriation flights on behalf of the government. But, Grant, an article here in the Sydney Morning Herald that I'm reading just here tells me that that's about to end as the funding from the government for repatriation flights is also coming to an end.
That's right, mate. It's supposed to finish this weekend. They don't really have any extension of it. Although I am hearing through the news feeds that this is going to be extended and they will re-kick the flights. Basically, the Australian government's been subsidising Qantas and Virgin with their international flights to help repatriate Australians trapped overseas. Qantas is doing London through, I believe, Perth on the dreaded non-stop 787 all the way London to Perth and then across to Melbourne. And they're also doing LA to Melbourne, and Virgin is doing LA to Melbourne as well, I believe.
Yeah, so they've brought a lot of Australians back here, and of course they all have to go into a mandatory 2-week quarantine. It's actually been interesting, at least down here in Melbourne, watching the Skybus service, which is the service that's being used from the airport here in Melbourne to take people to these hotels. It's been interesting to watch them transiting down the freeway, being followed by Australian Federal Police vehicles, just to make sure that everybody knows where everybody should be going. So.
Oh, yeah. You get fumigated on entrance and departure. You're handed a couple of things once you arrive, and it's straight away off to 2 weeks in a hotel room at the expense of the Australian taxpayer. So anyone coming to Australia, if you are lucky enough to get on a flight to come here, typically only Australian citizens and residents get to come back here because we're not quite closed the borders like New Zealand has, but we've given it a pretty good go. And, yeah, 14 days mandatory quarantine. So, hey. Britain, you got nothing on us.
Yeah, there you go. And, of course, that leaves United Airlines as the only airline now flying Sydney-San Francisco. That's the only direct passenger air link between Australia and the United States. So isn't it weird times? It really has been bizarre and a really shocking time for the airlines. And interesting you mentioned the New Zealand there, Grant. The news just came down tonight that they've now been 17 days without a confirmed COVID case. And their Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, is announcing that there'll be huge liftings of restrictions. Now, that doesn't mean that they're opening their borders, though. The Australian government, I know, has been sort of exploring options to perhaps have some sort of what they're calling a trans-Tasman bubble for travel, but there's been no commitment. I think I can't see that happening right now.
No, not at all. Maybe South Australia, which has had no cases for quite some time, could do a bubble with New Zealand. But Jacinda Ardern and her party, they've been really on the ball. They have mandated exactly what each level means. It's all written out in advance. You know what the precursors are to actually get into those different levels of lockdown and then come back out. And they've really done it quite well at this stage. A lot of us are watching to see if they have a second hiccup, but they're actually going to have a rugby league session where as many fans as want to can turn up. And this could be the first actual sporting game in the Western world where fans can turn up to the game. No problem at all.
Well, there'll be a winner there because anyone who knows this part of the world knows they are rugby mad over there in New Zealand. So.
Yeah, even rugby league, mate.
There you go. Okay, Grant, just mentioning Australian Airlines and, of course, Virgin Australia, of course, they were already struggling financially before the pandemic hit. They basically have gone into voluntary administration over this last few months. Now, Grant, there's been a lot of interest from a lot of companies that want to buy in to the Virgin Australia group. It looks like that's been shortlisted just down to a couple now.
They've got it down to Boston-based Bain Capital, a private investment firm, and the global investor Cyrus Capital Partners has links to Virgin founder Richard Branson. I don't know about you, mate, but every time I think about Bain, all I can think is, really, Batman?
Me thinks you watch way too many movies. That's what I think. You know,
Maybe.
You know, Grant, $7 billion Australian dollars is no small sum when you're talking about debt, and that's currently what the Virgin Group, anyone who buys them is going to have to take care of that debt before they think about, you know, really doing anything else. At one stage, the Queensland government was looking at taking a stake in it. That caused a lot of discussion, and not a lot of it positive, actually. It was an interesting announcement, I thought, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen now, but it's good to see that. I mean, we need two major airlines here in Australia at least. You know, as we've talked about many times on this segment, if people have been listening over the years, there have been other people who are trying to come in and start, you know, third major carriers that aren't discount carriers. Let's put that caveat on it.
Not just not Tiger.
Yeah, that's right. It just doesn't work. Well, Grant, speaking of Tiger, that's interesting, isn't it? Because they were actually bought out a few years ago by the Virgin Australia Group.
For $1.
For $1. There you go. Now, they haven't been flying at all during this period, and I wonder, are they coming back? What do you think?
Oh, mate, I really don't know that Tiger's going to come back, because what I've been seeing from these two bidders for Virgin is that I think they're going to try and walk away from as much as that of that debt as possible. They're going to try and say to places, hey, you'll get nothing if we don't buy it, so we'll give you half of nothing, which is a little bit, and we'll keep going, because that was one of the big problems Virgin had, was its debt level prior to this whole COVID thing. But yeah, definitely, I just don't know about Tiger. If it does come back, it'll be all 737s, because Virgin will be swapping airframes. Virgin's primarily 737s. Tiger was A320s. They're in the process of converting it over to 73s. If Tiger does come back, it'll be as 737s, not A320s. But honestly, I think what we'll see is that Virgin will possibly go back to how it was as Virgin Blue a little bit, that scrappy little underdog that doesn't do full business but has a go at it. And we'll see what winds up happening. But I think definitely they're going to try and just clear out the debt, maybe drop the international flights and just focus on Australia, plus using feeders from international instead. Because they've got the 777s that have beautiful business class going over to the US. But, you know, maybe that's just not quite economical. I suspect people will be looking at the bottom line very closely. You mentioned that Queensland was out. They had been talking about stuff. I think you'll find that Queensland is actually very much involved in both bidders, and Queensland will be putting maybe some tax dodges, maybe some money to help make sure that both bidders keep Virgin's headquarters in Brisbane. So we'll see what winds up happening, but it's getting real interesting for Virgin. I figure we'll know more in the next couple of weeks what's winding up.
Well, there we go, Grant. We've managed to test your microphone and also talk about some Australian aviation. So, well, it's heartening to know at least there is some aviation news here at the moment.
Hey, there certainly is, mate. And, you know, it's not completely over. There's, you know, still some GA going on, and there's some training going on, and people are getting out and taking their aircraft for flights as and where they can. And I happen to know there's a few balloonists getting back in the air at the moment. I've been off doing a couple of annual inspections lately for those who wish to fly soon.
All right, Grant. Well, we should sign off here, because Max will get very cranky if we go over 10 minutes. Anyway, I heard Max on a podcast the other day. Oh, I believe it was a UK-based podcast. And he mentioned he'd been in some strange, rather seedy podcast forums. Cue the music.
We're looking for a fast server.
Fast Server? You've never heard of the Millennium Hoster? It's the cluster that pushed the Kessel site in less than 10 rack mounts. It'll be fast enough for you, old man.
You'd better watch yourself. I've been the death sentence for 12 podcasts.
Oh, God, I told you you'd watch too many movies. I'm Steve Vischer.
And I'm Grant. These aren't the wombats you're looking for. McCarran.
I'll give it a rest. See you, folks.
Max is going to kill us for this
one. Oh, yes. Situation normal.
It's like they never left.
Just like old times.
Yes, that was really great. I really enjoyed that. Oh, David.
Although McCarran, I'll forgive you for the Star Wars pun.
Boy, and I was just thinking, how long has it been since they used to do a regular segment here? I'm thinking 5-6 years.
Yeah,
but
it's
I don't
been
recall.
Years. Yes, yeah. It really just felt like they just picked it right up. Just great stuff. Hope we get some more of those. Love that stuff. Love it. Love it. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Well, they've got a great sense of humor. It's always kind of fun to hear that Australian twist on things, which is definitely different than anything we can come up with here.
For sure. All right. That's our shortened episode for this week. I want to thank you for listening to the Airplane Geeks podcast. You can find us at airplanegeeks.com. There's show notes there. If you'd like to go straight to the show notes for this episode, we have a little handy redirect link, which is airplanegeeks.com/607. Next week, we have a great guest lined up, so you can look forward to that. Meantime, you can reach us on email at thegeeks@airplanegeeks.com. Well, David Vanderhoof, where can they find you online?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me in our Slack listener team. And you do that by sending us an email to thegeeks at airplanegeeks.com. And, of course, you can find me on Fridays when we have our act together with that guy Max Flight on the UAV Digest.
That's right. This week I have a actually I have a specific mountain vista already planned out where, David, I think I can get two bars on the phone. So that ought to be enough for us to do a UAV Digest this week. So
we'll see.
That'll work out. We'll see. And Max Trescott, how about you?
Well, let me turn around and quickly ask you, where are you going to be camping this week? Where would people spot you if they happen to be out in the wild?
Same forest, but different area of it. Still Bald Eagle State Forest in Pennsylvania, but farther to the north than I camped last time. So, yeah, it's supposed to be hot and humid and rainy one day, but hey, we'll survive.
Pennsylvania in the summer. Who would have thought?
Yeah, really. Hey, it's open.
Oh, wait. I lived there for 20 years. I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, all I'm thinking of is I'm glad this is short so I can put the air back on.
Yeah. Oh, indeed. Yeah, and it's certainly always 10 degrees warmer down where David is in Pennsylvania versus up in the northern part of the state. Well, people can find me at that normal place, which is if they are tuning in on the podcast dial, they can tune their podcast receiver to the Aviation News Talk, which means you can find that just about anywhere podcasts are found. I don't mention it too often, but we actually have a dedicated app for the show, and you go out to the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store and just search for Aviation News Talk and download the app. And, of course, people can always shoot me an email or send me feedback on anything by going to aviationnewstalk.com and then click on contact at the top of the page.
Wonderful. And you can find me on Twitter at MaxFlight. Also look for me on LinkedIn at the UAVDigest.com along with David. And, of course, with Mary Kirby at PaxXPodcast.com talking about the passenger experience. So please join us again next week as we talk aviation on the Airplane Geeks podcast. Bye, everybody.
Keep the blue side up.
And thanks for listening.